Hey everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We are now the proud sponsors of Timber Outdoor Music Festival. It's a brand new music festival presented by Artist Home, co-creators of Dough Bay Fest. It's going to be good. Timber attendees will enjoy the likes of the Helio Sequence, Fruit Bats, Quasi, Noah Gunderson, Brian John Appleby, Lamolo, and many more. Many who have been on this very show. And it's going to be so much fun, guys. It's going to be 2 days and nights of camping, outdoors, and music in Carnation, Washington. Timber is going to take place July 26th and 27th. You can find out more at timbermusicfest.com. Enjoy the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 155 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series, folks. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome, one and all, to this week's edition of the Air Raid Podcast. I'm so glad you are joining us once again. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Longtime pal of mine, Kyle Stevens from the band Kirby Crackle, will be joining us shortly to talk about their new album that is coming out July 9th. This is a great dude. This is one great dude. Very, very close friend of mine. And he's fantastic. And he keeps me kind of centered on all my nerdiness, because he tells me about new TV shows that are coming out that I should see, new comic books that I should read. He keeps me informed, people. And let me tell you a little something too, because like this is how, I don't know. And Kyle and I talk about this a little bit later on in the episode, and I don't want to get too far into it right now, but there's definitely something out there where people like to judge you on the internet. Like the internet, you know, I'm not saying anything new here, people. But you know how it works, right? People judge you. And when I say I'm a nerd, I am a nerd. I mean it. I legitimately think I am a nerd. I love playing video games. I play lots of video games, much to my wife's chagrin. And I also have a nice collection of comic books and action figures that have still not been taken out of their boxes. Yes, that's how deep this nerdiness goes. I have a whole box of Star Wars figures that have yet to be taken out of their boxes. And let me tell you, it's awesome, okay? It's awesome. Don't judge me. Don't fucking judge me, man. I am a nerd. I'm a real nerd. I just don't know too much about the stuff, right? So we'll talk with Kyle about nerdy stuff coming up here in a bit. We're also going to be featuring music off of their new album that's due out on July 9th. It's called Sounds Like You by Kirby Crackle, and it's fantastic. It's good, straight ahead, just pop music for the nerd masses. I mean, we'll be featuring this song a little bit later, but they've got a song about Star Wars. I mean, come on. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So I hope you guys had a wonderful 4th of July, a very safe and sane 4th of July. Mine was, because I went to bed at 8:30. I ate so much at my grandparents' lake cabin, which was beautiful. Holy smokes, the weather was perfect. To be up on Lake Bosworth, oh man, so nice up there, so nice. This little tiny lake, no power boats are allowed. Well, they allow like these little electric motor boats, you know, which barely make a sound because the lake is so small, and it gets really, really warm. So it's just perfect for swimming on a warm day. I got some color on my body, although my body also got some more weight added onto it after this weekend. God, we spent like 4 days up there, which we rarely ever do, but it just seemed like the perfect time to get out of the city, get away from everybody, get away from the loud, loud, loud fireworks, and get into the woods where people are just shooting shotguns all over the place, which is basically what we did. We didn't shoot the shotguns. We just were kept awake by them every night for the last 4 days. Yeah, but I hope your guys' 4th of July was well. Like I said, mine was great. It was great. It was laid back. And then we came back here back to the dining room studios here in North Seattle and find out that, yes, we have sold the house. We have sold the house. So, yay, right? That's awesome. We're very excited. But now we got to find a place to live. And the only place that we have found thus far, because we're supposed to be out of here now on July 19th, which we didn't really think was, you know, going to happen. I mean, we're closing in on that date, right, guys? It's a week away. Holy shit. Got to get fucking shit packed, man. I'm going to be filled with anxiety for the next week. This is going to be terrible. But anyway, so the only place that we found was this little shithole shithole apartment in a shithole building in a shitty area that's probably pretty dangerous. And that's where we're going to be living for hopefully just about a month, because it's month to month, but it's cheap and smells a little bit like cat piss. So we'll see. It's going to be me and my wife and my daughter staying in one room, and man, is it depressing. I can't even begin to explain to you guys how depressed I am that I have to live in that place. So the show, where the show comes in on this, you know, I hope it's not going to suffer. We're going to keep on trying to bring this show to you every week. You know, it may just be like phone interviews or something, because I would be totally embarrassed to bring people to this place, and I'm not going to do that. No effing way. Speaking of future Air Raid podcasts, we've got a great, great bunch of stuff coming your way. Is that even proper English? Great bunch of stuff. Sounds right. Hey, So we've got some shows in the can that we're gonna be pitching your way, people. We've got Rob Benson, a great performer, great musician. He's got a new kind of project out called Rob Benson and the Shelk here in Seattle, and we're gonna be talking with him here a couple weeks, or maybe just a week. I don't know. And we've also got interviews with Brian Posehn. And great comedian and nerd and heavy, heavy nerd, right? And then, you know, Aisha Tyler, which we've been telling you that we're going to bring your way soon as well. So, yeah, keep your ears open for those episodes coming your way. Let's do this, folks. Can we? Can we, please? Let's do this. Let's get to this song. Kirby Crackle. Off of the new album, Sounds Like You. This is a song about Star Wars, my favorite thing in the world. It's called Moisture Farm, and we'll be back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. I got a little green guy hanging on my back. doing? What are you doing, man? You know the deal. What, you leave your phone on?
I'm just wiping ice. This is so hot. I'm just like, this is like a Robert Palmer commercial.
A Robert Palmer commercial?
Yeah. Did he do Pepsi commercials and stuff, and
okay,
the girls instead
okay
of the guitars. And...
Yeah. I get it. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Kyle.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Making sure I save the real weird stuff for the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, like normal.
Like
right?
Normal, you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was a Robert Palmer commercial. It was like Addicted to Love, and then the girls were dancing in the background.
Yeah, it was like a Pepsi commercial or something, right?
Well, it was a video first.
Okay, well, I know that, yeah.
Yeah. And then
but
it was
they did
Pepsi,
the same,
where like,
the same thing,
it's the same girls, but they got a straw on their mouth,
yeah,
and they're moving like that.
Yeah, that was sexy.
That's
that
a word.
Sexy.
That's a word for it. It's a word for it, yeah.
They all had like the tight, like leotard thing, full body leotard thing on and
drinking
stuff.
Bartles and James when they're not on set.
That's right.
It was all one clear.
It was all clearly Canadian.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. Before
Zima. All about clearly Canadian. Welcome back, everybody. That was the song Moisture Farm off of the new
Ooh
Kirby Crackle album that's coming out July 9th.
July 9th.
In where? Stores everywhere, or they just got to go to the website?
They still have stores? They still have CD stores?
In
select
cities.
I'm pouring one for them right now. No, it's going to be physical copies on our website, kirbycracklemusic.com.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say the website every 15 minutes, just so you know I have this all planned
just
out.
Just keep it.
Yeah, and then on Bandcamp and iTunes and stuff.
Well, so far, so good, man. It sounds really good.
Thanks,
dude. I think actually today was like the first chance I really got to listen to it, although I've heard songs off of it.
Yeah.
But I have been quite busy over here at the dining room studio.
I know this.
So don't blame me for that, okay?
No, but I'm surprised you even listened to it, because I was all ready to give you tons of shit coming in here. Because I figured you wouldn't, because not that you're not a good interviewer or not a buddy or anything like that, but my
favorite... No, I'm a terrible interviewer.
No,
you can say it.
You have brass balls, because you have people in here much, much... Well, more well-known band-wise and actor-wise than me, and you will just say to them, cause, and I know this because I usually listen to you when I go running in the morning,
uh-huh,
but so I didn't listen to it, and just almost with like a confidence of what are you going to do, and
yeah,
it's never
yeah
greeted with like, it's never said with malice or anything like that.
Yeah, and, what are you going to do about
and,
it?
And the guy, you're like, so I didn't, and they go, oh, okay. And but then you engage after the fact, which I think is fun.
Well, I've
so
gotten a
I
lot
feel so
less
special that you listen to that.
Yeah, dude. You're a good, you're a close friend. Kyle's become a close friend of mine.
Yeah. We have to let that known,
yeah,
known up front.
If,
so any compliments are just loaded.
Right. We're just going to be
stroking
jerking
egos,
each other
just,
off the whole
45.
Episode. That's true.
Tantric podcast.
Yeah. Tantric podcast. We're going Sting on this shit. Well, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a long time since we've sat down here and talked. Actually, it was like just around the same time last year, right?
2 years ago.
Or was it 2 years ago?
That's weird.
And it was like the same amount of heat in the dining room studios at that point, too.
Exactly.
We sitting across the table from each other, just sweating it out.
Like, we just stared at each other. I memorized the follicles that you even have open now. Just your pores are just trying to breathe in this heat. And it's good to know that some things remain the same.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
Except for the hairline.
No, it still looks good.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
I feel like...
Pull your headphones back just a little bit on the back. No? See, that's good. See, that's like Jude Law sexy.
That's Jude Law?
I would think your
I
wife...
Think I need
think
to
wife
lose
say
some weight Law's before I get to Jude Law sexy.
You lost more weight since 2 years ago. You're thinner than you were 2 years ago.
You think so?
I can say that if I feel like it. But also my eyes are worse.
Yeah.
I had to up my prescription too, so I think
have you had to
fine
do that? I haven't
I
had to do
beautiful
that in a couple years. I haven't had to like really just ramp it up on the glasses yet.
Well, I hadn't gone into the eye doctor for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went in. It was like through this period of my life where I didn't have insurance for a couple of years, and then I went in and they
yeah
told me all the worst shit you could ever say, like,
right,
well, your
right
gums are falling off. They're going to look like this if you don't. Like, no, they're not going to look like that. That's years down the line. They just
yeah
peel
yeah
back
yeah
the
yeah
example of
oh
gum, what's it called? Recession?
Yeah.
The situation's
yeah
better now, just so yeah you know, listeners.
Or like bone loss. They talk
bone
to you about
yeah,
bone
it's just
loss
fucking
all
horrible
the time.
It just is like, okay, I'm just going to brush all day long now. That's all I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So
I did an experiment the last time I went to the dentist. Like I flossed for a month straight
mm-hmm
before I went to the dentist, because every time you go to the dentist, you know, not a lot of people like floss on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every time you go into the dentist, like for somebody like me who doesn't floss on a regular basis, like they're like, you need to start flossing. you know, you're going to get gum disease, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's why you're bleeding so much. That's why you're bleeding so much. You don't floss enough.
Did you have like a whole corn cob just back in there or what?
No, nothing. Like, oh. I've never even had a cavity before.
But it's bleeding when you floss.
But it's bleeding when they're flossing me at the dentist. So the last time, like, I made a conscious effort to, like, pretty much floss for a month on a regular basis.
Good
like
job.
every other day.
Good job.
And so I go into the dentist, and once again, they're doing the flossing section of my checkup,
mm-hmm.
and it hurts like a mother, and I'm bleeding all over the place again. Like, I wasn't bleeding when I was flossing, but I'm bleeding when the dentist does it. And she says the same thing to me. She says, you need to start flossing more. Like, are you going to get, and I told her, I was like, look, I've been flossing for a month, man. This is BS. Like, there is no need to floss. If you brush on a regular basis, there is no need to floss, because that is, like, the dentist is all about just, it's like a fetish thing for them, I think.
I think it's a fetish thing for you, which is why you don't want to, which is why you're not doing the flossing good. You just want them to tell you you're being
no,
a bad boy
I'm
every time
lazy.
You go in there. You just want them to tell you you're a bad boy and you're not flossing good enough. And and if you do floss good enough, they're not going to tell you you're doing a bad job, which is chasing your fetish dentist tail, I think is what you're doing.
It's just a vicious cycle,
you're
saying?
Yeah.
Okay. That might be true.
So when I
that
went
might
to,
be true.
So when I went to that eye doctor.
Yeah.
They told me that they go, oh, well, this is interesting. Like, quote, your cornea is disintegrating.
Hmm?
And of course, you hear that shit.
You didn't tell me about that.
No, this was before I met you.
Oh, okay.
So I go, what does that mean? Like, oh, it just means you're going to be blind when you're like 55. And
when
I just casual, like, just like, it's like, what do you want for dinner tonight? Okay.
Yeah.
That. And so, of course, I was kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
And just kind of carried that weight with me for a year when I went back again. And they go, oh, no, that's fine. That's not going to happen. I'm like, well, then who the hell was this person that's telling me that stuff? That's not cool.
Some guy just comes in off of the street.
It was the owner. It was the guy who started the place, the practice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was his daughter, who then had 6 months earlier, I'd found out when I got the better news, had moved to Alaska and quit being an optometrist. So maybe there you go. I don't know.
So maybe she was just like messing with you because she just didn't care. Like, she was just like, screw this job.
She
I'm
going
to go in.
God.
I'm going to tell people the worst news possible. Like, it may not even be true.
You're like, your foot's falling off. That's not even why I'm here. I didn't even take off my shoes.
You're
oh,
an optometrist.
I got to try better at this freaking people out thing.
You've got anal warts.
Oh, no, I know.
You didn't even.
Oh, we're talking. Okay. You're talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
it. Okay.
Yeah. Hypothetical.
Okay.
Hypothetical.
Sorry. I shouldn't.
Well, Kyle, new album coming out. New Kirby Crackle album.
Interesting.
Coming out.
Yeah. You picked that song, Moisture Farm.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
There
you
go.
Why not?
That's our Star
you
Wars
You told
song.
Me about that song, too. Like,
I did.
I hadn't heard it yet. And
it's kind of weird.
Dude, well, okay. So this is what I wanted to say. And I picked some songs, a couple songs here that we're going to play throughout the episode.
Cool.
That are a little bit of a departure for you guys.
Yes.
A little bit more hard garage style, you know, maybe a little punk thrown in there.
Little punk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little punk, little...
Still the very pop, you know, you got a very, like, poppy, like, polished
That's where
voice.
The roots are. Yeah, the roots are in
but,
power pop.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely Moisture Farm, and then the song that we're going to play for the second musical break is definitely kind of a departure for you guys, North of the Wall.
Oh, yeah. We announced that today. It was like the second
oh, perfect.
Single
okay.
that
so
we
I'm not,
put out.
I'm not pissing you off.
No, it's perfect timing.
I had
actually,
Shelby Earle
yeah.
in here yesterday, and her
oh, she's
album.
She's a sweetie. I know her.
I love her. I love her
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, she's great.
Her album comes out on July 23rd, and they didn't know that that her episode was going to drop yesterday.
Oh,
go live yesterday. And so she was like, oh, yeah, we can't play those songs yet.
Oh, she wanted to save them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, shit.
It's so hard to time. I mean, it's like, you know, we're not whining when we say stuff like that. It's just like we try, you know, being independent artists.
Right.
You try to line everything up as good as you can.
Right.
And I mean,
because you don't want to just blow your load. It's like
yeah,
you don't want to blow your load all at once.
Yeah.
With like just letting people willy-nilly just play the songs all over the place. You want to kind of strategically put, you know, songs out there in certain spots, right?
Correct. Yeah. And also it's...
You guys do the same thing?
We do the same thing. Yeah. We had like this plan starting 3 months ago. I mean, every, you know, we say kind of behind the curtain, we say, okay, this week we're going to do this single. Then next week we're going to put out some of our outtakes from
right.
a photo shoot. Then today
yeah, yeah.
we put out this song, not a true single release, but just to show people.
Goes out on a schedule.
Yeah, it goes on a schedule because you only have so much time for people's attention. I mean, you know this, and I know this.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Stuff like an album used to last in people's minds, I think, of being new, of, what, a couple months? Mm-hmm. Now, literally, I know the week after this album drops, people will say, when's your next one coming out?
Right.
Like, dude, yeah. I just put... But, you know, you can't go there.
Yeah,
you'd be
yeah.
Someday. It's fine, because I understand it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also... It makes you less precious about what it is that you put out to know.
Well, I've never really thought about it that way. That's a really... that's really interesting that you say that, because I mean, it's the same thing as doing, you know, doing press for your own press, like on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. You know, you don't want to flood the gates too much, right?
Yeah.
You got to kind of stagger the information that comes out, first of all, to keep the people's interest up in it. And then second of all, you want to keep them kind of remembering it, right?
Totally. And just have,
and not annoy them with all the
balance of in output,
all the stuff.
Also, you know, having content always coming out. Like there's other people in our genre that put out stuff every week, and to me that's too much, because then to me it kind of loses a little bit of the old school special feeling that I want to try to bring with me from when I first started doing this,
before iTunes
and the internet and everything like that, and you know, doing this for, you know, 20 years, which is not a real long length of time, but you know, I'm 33 now, doing it since I was 13. You would make cassettes at home and give them out, and no one had CDs really then. It was like a couple of years before CDs started becoming easily accessible.
Yeah.
And then when you finally got CDs printed up with some shitty little decal on the front cover, that was awesome.
Oh,
you know, and now it's like...
You remember the CD Stomper? You had to have this like this decal thing that would keep the decal straight.
Line
and
it up perfect.
Stomp the CD down on it.
Yep. And they were gold on the back because you bought CDRs and burned them.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, and the stickers always look like crap. Like, you're using your mom's printer, you know, that came with the computer as part of the package.
Yeah, and so, and then it was, like, just really expensive to order the stickers, but I just hated what I did because I had no Photoshop skills. Or
You could only print four at a time.
Yeah.
It took forever. You'd if you were doing more than, like, 50, you'd have to buy more ink cartridges.
MS Paint style, just with the lines running down.
Yeah, totally. Ink jet.
Get off my lawn, God.
You damn kids. It is these songs, back to what we said before we went on that little tangent there. These songs are a little bit of a departure from you know, the normal Kirby Crackle.
Yeah, I mean,
was that a conscious decision, or did that just kind of come together?
It was.
Naturally?
I mean, when we started this, I had been doing non-geek music for, you know, 15 years before Kirby Crackle, and you know, long story short, for those of your listeners who haven't heard our interview 2 years ago, my business partner Jim Demonakos and I thought about how cool it would be to combine our love of comics. He runs the Emerald City Comic Con. He is the owner of all the Comic Stop chain of stores in the greater Seattle area.
Yeah.
And then my
Overall great dude.
Yes, overall great dude. He's my Greek hetero life mate. And it was like, why has no one been doing pop rock that's kind of spoke to the masses, that just isn't yelling Spider-Man over and over again, but talking about the reasoning behind the character and the motives and the things that they fear and the things that they love and the hope. And so we... over the past 5 years, developed a niche singing from the perspective of comic book and video game characters.
Yeah.
And though I think we'll always do that to some degree, I want to turn the dial a little bit on this new record to sing not only from the comic book and video game characters and about the topics we love. I mean, Moisture Farm, we're singing from the perspective of Luke Skywalker.
Right.
But also from the perspective of just people like you and I and people that are going through middle class life, being a fan of all these things and what it's like to just exist in this amazing time, I think we're living in, of technology and finding out what it means to be close and connect while not being separate. And the things that sometimes connect us are an illusion and make us further apart. And I mean, that's why I think podcasts are so cool, because I think the people tap into that so heavily, because that is one of the last true ways to hear an honest conversation back and forth between people.
Because
for whatever reason, I mean, in their homes, I think people still have conversations and express themselves kind of in their weaknesses and their hopes and dreams. But it's harder and harder to do that with strangers, I think. Mm-hmm. And so at least that's why I enjoy listening to, you know, your podcast and Mark Maron's and people like that. It's I don't know, I think we're kind of losing something, but we're gaining something at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that balance is really interesting to me, and I tried to capture those themes on this new CD.
Mm-hmm. But what was I was talking about more kind of the music.
Oh, like
the music aspect, the musical aspect.
Yeah.
Like, these are a little bit like Moisture Farm and North of the Wall, especially, like, a little bit, like, heavier.
Yeah, they're heavier. You know? Yeah.
Like, North of the Wall that you guys will hear in moments is, you know, definitely more of kind of like a throwback to the 70s almost.
Yeah, it's just,
I mean, the solos that are on there.
The solo, yeah, that's our guitar player, Patrick Porter.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's,
yeah, great,
you know,
guitar player.
I met him when I was 18, he was in another band. He's a couple years older than me, and he's always kind of been like my musical mentor.
Yeah,
guy.
He's like 64, right?
He's like 64, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's 67.
He's
he
probably
looks,
listening.
He looks really
to
good. He looks really good, though.
He looks
though,
fantastic.
For 60, yeah,
for 67,
he looks great, and he can play like a mother. I mean, he knows that I love it when I say, "Patrick, just go off, mm-hmm. like please," mm-hmm. and then he'll do it. I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah.
I can't play like that. So so he really went off on this song, and I listened to a lot of. I was big into the new Soundgarden record, King Animal, when we wrote that song, and you can probably tell. Once you listen to it, like, all right.
That definitely makes sense.
It's kind of a Soundgarden riff, and it's kind of punk and aesthetic, and I think there's a big valley between our kind of polished pop songs and then our dirty, dirty songs, like mm-hmm. Moisture Farm and North of the Wall. And just as much as I like writing pretty stuff, I really liked creating chaos lately.
Yeah.
And just have it kind of be atonal and dissonant and just really messed up sounding in a song form that's still accessible to people.
Well, it totally works too.
Thanks, man.
I really like it. I think it's I think you guys did really well on those, and we'll get more into that a little bit later. But I did want to talk to you about. I was thinking about this today before you got here.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot. For people who don't know, you guys do a lot of stuff at Comic Cons.
Yes.
Right. You tour around to Comic Cons all around the country.
Yeah, about 10 a year.
And have been branching off and doing stuff down in Australia as well. Right.
We have. Yeah. We were there.
Is that the only other country that you guys have been to? Well, I guess you go to Canada.
Canada,
but
Australia.
Have you done anything?
I was in
like
Ireland. I didn't play in Ireland when I was there.
Oh,
I was
okay,
just like hanging out. But no, we really want to do that. I mean, we really want to get to South America. Like, I know we have a fan base in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cool to go to the safe parts of Mexico and check that out. And we have a lot of fans there who come up to San Diego Comic-Con, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
And I really want to go to Japan, and we'll see how that works.
There's got
to
be a huge comic book convention over in Japan somewhere.
Huge, huge. And American bands go there, and they do great.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
totally.
So
I
have this dream. I mean, Japan's like one of my number one places I want to go.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of action on your stuff over in Japan?
We do. Like, for Google Analytics, you can see we kind of have pockets, like, all over the world.
I know,
there's not, like, one country that's obviously, like, go here, because otherwise we would have gone. But, you know, even with the pre-orders we have for the new album, there's the section of Germany that we kind of always get pre-orders from. Then a couple of people in Japan and Thailand.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of pre-orders from Iceland, actually. And then, like, a lot in Mexico, and actually a lot in, like, Argentina.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, really?
And then Canada, yeah.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, we got to find a way to get out and about more, because I know there are pockets where we got to give some love to.
Well, I think it's all about, you know, I mean, and you guys do this really well, and you've been doing it for so long, and it's just now, and we've had this conversation before, just together. It's like, you're starting to see kind of a big bump in what's going on. Like, you're getting some traction now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. With doing this. How long have you guys been doing this, you and Jim?
This Kirby
Crackle doing the comic, like, the
five years. It's been like the quickest 5 years ever, man. Because I don't think of years and years anymore. I think of them from Comic Con.
Well,
to
you
Comic-Con.
Guys, you guys are super, super busy.
Yeah, and it's super fun, busy. And it's really exhausting sometimes. But but the reward is, you know, like, say you do 3 Comic Cons in a month. Like, that's the most we've ever done, and so you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, fly out Thursday, work the show Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly back Monday. You got 2 days, and then you're going again.
Right.
And even if you're tired, like, the coolest thing, like, in the interviews I'm doing now for promo for the record, it's like, people are like, what's the best part of this? And over again, I don't even have to think about it. It's meeting the people at the table.
Because
we form these relationships with people, and they're back, like, hey, I'm here for the new CD, or people saying, hey, I'm going through a job issue right now, and I can't afford to buy anything, but I could get a ticket, and I just want to come and say hi to you guys, because I come and say hi every year.
Like, that's pretty cool.
It's super
cool,
man.
That's gotta feel nice.
It feels really nice, and stuff that you can't buy, like people wanting to use our song, saying, hey, we want to use it in our wedding. Is that okay? I was like, well, of course. I can't even believe you want to. And hell yes, you can. Like, I'm honored that you even get to be a part of the day, or or people that are proposed at the booth table.
Right.
I mean, it's really, it's,
you've seen that?
Yeah.
Somebody has proposed in front of you guys.
Someone
at the
proposed
booth?
At the booth table. Someone proposed at the concert that you emceed.
Really?
At Crackle Fest. Remember
this year?
This year?
Oh yeah, this year. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were back at the bar at that.
Where we were supposed to have Merle
from Walking Dead.
From Walking Dead, which I was super excited. Like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then he didn't show up.
Yeah.
He was a good no-call, no-show, man.
Yeah, I know. I learned later why I didn't show up, but we're not going to go into that.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I think we did.
But, I mean, it's been really, like, the relationships we form with people are awesome. And sometimes, like, you know, they won't remember my name, and I won't remember their name, which I feel always horrible about, but I know people's face. Like, I don't forget someone's face. And I mean, it's just, we've been able to experience stuff that is usually reserved for bands much bigger than us in the terms of having fan interaction that feels like they treat you like you're a really big band.
Yeah.
And I think that's because we've always been loyal to them by not just putting out crap or shoving out an album in 1 year because it should be done.
Right.
You know, like
when it's not ready.
Right. We take
like that,
our time and we listen to them about, hey, what topics do you guys want to hear about? And
they
in turn are very loyal to us. So that's like a balance that over all things I really value that.
And it's growing.
Yeah, it's growing.
It's growing right
now. And it's like how to make it grow more, and that's something we're always working on, like being true to our audience we have now, but also expanding a little bit. And that's where I really feel good about this new record. Like I feel like this record is that balance of those things that I tried to do last time and didn't really get, but only could be okay to do this time because we barely turned the dial on the previous record.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it's an evolution.
Yeah.
I don't want to say a slow evolution, but like you mentioned, like, you know, just a turn of the dial, just a little bit, you know, like just cranking it up a little bit.
Yeah. Cause we couldn't do our first album.
Put some more distortion on that git.
I put some git
on that
distortion. No, I'm gonna say it now.
You can use that.
Okay, thank you.
You can use that one in your next band practice.
I won't.
So was there a point, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, but I mean, for a while there, I mean, you guys are spending your own money going to these Comic-Cons, and you have to, you know, pay for a booth, which is not cheap.
Not cheap at all.
Especially
no,
at the bigger Comic-Cons.
San Diego,
that's
$2,500.
Are you serious?
For something that is $400 at a different con.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But now you guys are getting invited, right?
It's happening more and more. It's not 100%, but we're making that transition now because the cons aren't going to bring you out unless they feel like you have an added value to it.
Uh-huh.
And so what's been happening slowly is, again, in credit to our fan base, they've been letting the cons know, hey, we want these guys to come. They see that that's going to bring more people in. Tons of people go to these things anyways. But
right.
You know, like my friend Tony Moore, Tony Moore in.
Tony's been on the show.
Yeah, he's been on the show. Yeah. He's awesome.
Co-creator of The Walking Dead.
Yep, a good guy. And so they bring him in, and because they know he's going to put bodies to the door.
Dude, he had such a huge line stacked up at his table this year. It was crazy.
Yeah, we got to be good friends with them in Australia. Jim and I hung out with he and his wife, Kara, the whole time.
Kara's hilarious.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She is funny.
She calls me Mama. That's the only person who acknowledges that I want to be called Mama. She actually does it. So
anyway, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No, it's fine. Yeah, so that's slowly changing. And
but was that ever a fear too? Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off again.
No, please do. That's what this is.
Yeah, was that ever fear for you? Like, I mean, was there a point at which you were going to tell yourself, okay, if this doesn't start happening soon, there's no way I can sustain it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I really had that thought, but in the past year, with all that we knew we were doing with the record and everything, and I mean, again, like people usually don't share this stuff, but I don't care because it's real life. I mean, this is what it is to be an independent artist in 2013, but we're looking at the numbers and we're like, okay, I mean, you have to ask yourself. So we go to X convention. Mm-hmm. Do we make the money back? Do we make enough profit back that it's worth it for us to go do that? Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. And luckily, more and more conventions want to have us out. And so that it helps then pad saying, okay, we wouldn't normally go to this convention, X convention, but we're gonna, because we know that it's going to work out around. So it's this balance that, you know, I'm not going to say we have figured out, because we don't, but we're getting better at it all the time. And everyone, I mean, just like in life, everyone's trying to figure out how it works. But
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
with all the traveling we've been doing, I never knew how I was going to see the United States and these cities we've seen in Australia and stuff like that with my music until mm-hmm. this. And
yeah.
I never had a plan. I didn't even, of course you want to, but how was I going to get there? And so to me, it's just like a huge shocking thing that, you know, Australia wants to have us out, and just so thankful and have gratitude that
yeah.
exists.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Gotta be thankful, man.
Yeah, totally, man. Well, that's a great spot to take our second musical break. Featuring music off of the new album that comes out July 9th. It is called... Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, Kyle.
Sounds Like You. It's called Sounds Like You Didn't Look at the Album Title.
I'm looking at it right now. That was a fake laugh. That was a nervous laugh right there. But you're going to stay for dinner, so it's just going to be nervous
yeah.
all over.
Make me dinner.
All over dinner. This is called North of the Wall. I'll give you two guesses about what it's about by Kirby Crackle, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest Kyle Stevens
of the band. Coming.
Winter is coming. I wish it was coming right now, because then it would be much more bearable in the sauna of a studio. Okay. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us. Right, we are back. That was the song North of the Wall off of the new album by Kirby Crackle called Sounds Like You, which you can find on their website, www.kirbycracklemusic.com, starting July 9th. So, yeah, make it over there. Check it out. They've got a great website, bunch of videos on there, including a video for the song that we're going to play at the end of the show as well. Which is super cool. So, yeah, do that, guys. And a bunch of shows coming up, too, it looks like. You guys got a little calendar off to the side here.
Yeah, we got a 2013 West Coast tour.
Yeah, dude, in support of the album. And this isn't even you're not even doing, like, Comic-Cons. This is solid shows here.
Yeah, this is our first, I did it last year, solo acoustic tour up and down the West Coast uh-huh. with nerdcore artist Adam Warrock.
But right.
This is the first time it's been full band.
Band.
I'm playing Scoutmaster. I got to get my Cubs out on the road.
That's pretty great, man.
A lot of driving.
I'm excited
Thanks.
For you on this
you want,
one.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do the best part, which is driving from Las Vegas to Seattle, just two solid days with no shows in between? You should do that. You should fly down and just, you can learn everything about everybody. It's
nope.
The best.
Nope. Nope. Never.
Oh, you disappoint me. Hey,
that's going to be a hot drive, dude, because you're going to be down there.
Oh, shit.
You're going to be down there July, what, 21st in Las Vegas?
Who planned that?
Yeah, who did plan that? Dude. You heard how hot it was in Death Valley.
Dude, we're
driving.
Okay, where
right?
is Death Valley? Is that Nevada?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're driving up the middle of Nevada.
It's like Nevada and California.
Okay, we're going straight up Nevada, so. There might just be like a burnt out Honda Pilot with just like skeletons, just heads tipped back, like yeah. a la Book of Eli
with
or Fallout 3.
With just like some burnt guitar strings left over. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, I was a little disappointed when we came back from that break. We didn't do the casual banter thing that you fade in with because that's.
Well,
the,
see, you. We weren't talking.
I had my fake banner thing all planned, just like when they cut away on talk shows and they lean in and say some shit
that
you don't
know
what they're saying.
Yeah.
Can't take that away from me.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. It'll be at the beginning of our
talk.
I
just wanted to come in here and mess with you the whole time, but I'm not doing as much as I should.
See, this is
a
problem.
I'm getting warmed up now. Now I'm ready.
See, this is a problem. You listen to the show religiously, so, you know. You just
like
want it to be. You just
psycho
want it to be like everything
fan.
Else.
I do.
But I is that why you call different? Me all the time?
I do. Mm. I said, just talk with your radio voice. I'm running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not awkward.
That was you killed that conversation.
That's
bro.
What I do.
Yeah. Hey, so I did want to ask you about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of my kind of nerd culture from you. Like you kind of cue me into certain things that I should know about.
Okay.
Especially like Game of Thrones. I think you were the one that kind of turned me into that.
And I gave you my HBO show. Go account.
Yes.
Nice.
Which is awesome. Thank
Good.
You.
You're welcome.
I was sick the other day for my birthday. From my actual birthday.
Happy shitty birthday.
Oh my God, it was terrible. Had the flu. Oh. It was horrifying. But
you just
thank God.
A tantrum?
Oh my God, dude. I wanted to. I had to take a couple days off work because I was, I was spewing, man.
To HBO Go It Up?
Vomitous. Yeah.
Was it both ends or
so
just
many,
puking?
Oh yeah, it was both ends.
It was just full experience.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was bad. It was bad. But thanks to your HBO Go account, I watched Roadhouse twice.
You were sick.
Haven't you ever seen that? Have you never seen that movie?
I've seen it halfway through
How
once.
Could you say that? How could you even say that halfway through only once?
And I didn't like it.
Are you serious?
If it's what I think it was. Oh, is that where he's with Demi? Is he with Demi Moore, like, doing the pot?
No,
oh.
That's Ghost.
Oh,
come on. Whoa. Whoa, dude.
Oh, is that that's Chuck Norris in that, right?
No.
I'm just joking.
Shut up. Oh, God. You're going to make my brain explode.
I haven't. I
Patrick
need to.
Patrick Swayze plays a bouncer named Dalton. He just goes by Dalton.
Does he have the Patrick Swayze hair?
Oh, hells yeah.
Like tight jeans?
Hells to the yeah.
The whole deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rips a dude's throat out at the end of it.
Shit.
Spoiler alert. But it's been like, almost 30 years since that movie came out. So
is that the movie where some guy, like there's like a mob boss guy who's at a desk and someone comes in and they didn't like complete a mission or something. And he goes, here, do you want to snort this Coke? And he hands him a straw and he leans over the Coke and they smack the back of his head and slam it down on the table. So the straw goes up his nose.
No.
Is this a kid's show?
No.
Okay.
No, that does not happen. I think you might be thinking of Batman.
No,
Batman Begins,
no, but they
the
ripped that
or...
off of this 80s movie I'm talking about.
Oh,
I do
okay.
know that.
Okay.
I do know that.
Yeah, where the pencil.
Yeah, I'm at a dead end. Continue. Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie. I really highly suggest. If you haven't seen Roadhouse, you have not lived.
There's a lot of good/weird, good, shitty movies on HBO Go.
And it's
not what I expected the movie archive to be. But there's also like Cocoon 1 and Cocoon 2.
Is that on there right now?
Yeah, but also
no.
There's like Prometheus and then like Green Hornet and just weird stuff. But there is like My Life with Michael Keaton. There's weird late 80s, early 90s B-list TV stars and movie stars.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back in the 80s, I mean, Roadhouse, big deal, man.
Yeah.
Roadhouse, a huge deal.
Well, it's not surprising I didn't see it because my mom wouldn't even let me watch The Simpsons.
What?
I couldn't. This is the deal.
Lori wouldn't let you watch The Simpsons?
Lori Galindez would not let me watch The Simpsons. So here's the deal. I would come home from school.
Yeah.
And I do my homework.
Uh-huh.
and I do my chores because I had three chores I had to do a day.
Uh-huh.
And then I had 15 minutes to half an hour of TV. Yeah. And it, I could watch Entertainment Tonight. So Entertainment Tonight and Evening Magazine didn't count. So now you know why I was psyched to be on Evening. It was like some weird like conquering of my early teen. But you know what? When I talked to Kim Holcomb,
who
we both know, she's awesome.
Yeah.
It was great to meet her through that. She's
a nice lady.
She is a nice lady. She told me that, she goes, you don't know how many people say that to me, who say like, I love Evening Magazine. I watched it since I was a kid. So it's just, it's burnt into the early 90s to late 90s.
Yeah.
Just minds of everyone.
No,
who lives
I Northwest. Definitely I laugh about it. I'll probably make fun of you later about it. But please I used to watch it as well.
It was awesome.
It was just on.
I love Penny LaGate.
It's on. Oh, Penny LaGate. Yeah, dude. Yeah, totally. She was a solid eight.
A solid eight. She had very nice sweaters.
Mm-hmm. I saw her in Ocean Shores a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, just walking around the market. And I wanted to actually say hi to her. But
yeah, like, you're awesome.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Well,
probably for the best.
Yeah, she's probably like, this guy's just creeping me out. I better get out of here. And right as you're about to do it, she's gone.
Yeah. By the way, Evening Magazine, for the people not here from Seattle, was a show that that aired after the local news at like 7 o'clock. It's still on the air. It's been on the air for what, like 20 years almost?
Yeah, it's like a...
Let's say. Well, maybe even longer.
Informative local news.
Yeah, yeah.
Every city probably has
it. It's like a news magazine.
Yeah, every city probably has it.
Well, Evening Magazine, yeah. But they do local kind of human interest pieces.
And it's family friendly.
Nature. Yeah.
But also edgy enough that you felt like you were watching something. Or maybe that's just me.
I don't know if I would call it edgy.
Dude, for me, but it's not like I had like this repressed childhood. It's just like my mom was like, The Simpsons, that's bad. Don't watch
I
that.
I can't believe she didn't let you watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, but then my little brother, of course, third child, he could watch whatever he wanted. He was like watching anything. Faces of Death at like third grade. And just like, what are you watching? Oh, okay.
Watching a monkey get his head smashed in a vice. That's gross.
That
happened in that movie.
See, I'm glad I didn't watch
Faces
that stuff.
Of Death.
I'm glad
that
I didn't
disgusting.
Watch that. I have a
Terrible.
Problem with images burnt in my head a long time.
Yeah, that was stuck in mind for a while.
Did I tell you about the monkey situation?
What monkey situation?
Okay, so
what
I just went to
about?
I just went to San Diego a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
first time
yeah.
I've been to San Diego, not with Emerald City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool to be like, oh, there's places outside of the gas lamp district. This is crazy. We went to the zoo, San Diego Zoo.
Yeah.
Amazing, beautiful. And we're watching the monkeys, not full-on chimpanzees or orangutans, but kind of the whatever 15 slot subspecies that monkeys have in Madagascar or whatever. I'm not a zoologist, Aaron. So the monkey's sitting there eating his...
I'm not either. I don't even know what a monkey is, so just keep going.
I'll draw
going.
You a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
The monkey's just sitting there, and he's eating an apple and just looking at everyone looking at him. Just He's just like, you idiots, looking at us. And this other monkey comes up next to him, and he looks at monkey two, looks at monkey one that was sitting there, and then monkey two lays down right in front of monkey one,
mm-hmm.
full-on downward dog facing pose, hands on the ground,
uh-huh.
and his butt right up in the face of monkey one.
Yeah.
And monkey one just looks at it and looks at us and looks at the butt and looks at us and then takes a bite. And then sticks his finger in the butt of monkey two that just went up right there. Just and not like full on insertion, just like bunk.
Yeah, yeah.
In and out.
Yeah.
And we're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then he looked at us again and went bunk, bunk two times. And my wife and I were the only ones there. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening.
What?
And then he takes another bite of his apple, just like someone would be like, all right, let's get down to this. Throws the apple over his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And then goes to work as a proctologist would on monkey two, and monkey two didn't do anything. And my wife said, we got to get out of here. I'm like, no, we got to stay. Not because that's my deal, okay, but because families were starting to come around the corner, and I needed, this was like a gift from the universe, that I needed to see how Middle America families who were in town
would react to
would
that
react,
situation.
And it was just horror. It was kids laughing and parents trying to drag them out. I'm like,
oh my God.
This is nature, man.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Let's just soak it in.
People play with, or not people, but animals play with each other's buttholes.
I guess.
In public.
But there were two male monkeys, so it was like, I think he was helping his homie out.
Because I think that's
it wasn't
what it
a dominance
like.
Thing. Yeah, it was kind of like, dude, I got an issue here.
Yeah.
You want to help me out?
I got swallowed a hair, and it's in there now, and you got to help me out. Terry, get over here. Give me your hand.
Brad, God damn it, again. May we all be so comfortable. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, man, it'll happen someday. Yeah. It'll happen someday. You just watch. You just watch, man. Yeah. Hey, so back to Comic-Cons and stuff.
Yeah.
You see a lot of these things.
Yep.
You are my nerd culture kind of barometer.
Mm.
And you've been steeped in nerddom for a long time. Like, you were a fan of comic books. You've always been a fan of comic books. Fan of superhero universe.
Totally. I try to pop my claws on a weekly basis, but it never happens.
Oh my god, I used to try to do that all the time. Like Wolverine. Just like, I would squeeze my fist so hard.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of like,
trying hard enough. The wrong muscle, you've like flexed your pituitary gland or something like that. Like that would
all of a sudden my bones will just pop out.
Yeah, does it hurt? Every time. Just coming out. Well, one time when I was 8 and I was like really into X-Men, like deep, where to follow up with my parents trying to keep me away from pop culture to a little degree, not a lot. Like, they're full on accepting of everything, not like a conservative household or anything.
Right, right.
But they were just a little afraid of like, what is this? And my mom set me down. She'd be like, we have concerns about you reading so many comics.
Really?
I want you to be aware that not all women look like that. I'm like, really? They don't all look like that? Like, no, of course. This, she was worried. Looking back as a man-child adult, I could understand
her
concern.
Yeah.
But long story long, then I would be out on the deck at our place and I would be like, I'm going to make the wind happen like Storm. And all of a sudden the wind would brush through. I'm like, I'm awesome. I'm awesome.
How old were you?
It was like last year. No, it was like 8. It was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right. Like, yeah. I had daydreams about, like, I remember vividly in like third grade having daydreams about like, I think it was third grade. That's when the first like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie came out.
Oh, hell yeah. Awesome.
I had daydreams about coming to school in full like Shredder regalia. You know, his whole, you remember that suit that they had Shredder in? Like,
most kids want to be the Turtles. Explain this to me.
I just wanted to be a badass so I could just beat up all these kids that used to pick on me and they would just leave me the fuck alone.
You get picked on in high school? And in middle school?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see that.
Not middle school, but
elementary school.
Elementary school.
I got really picked on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see that. I just see you being like, what the hell's your problem? And smacking people and then
well,
getting
see,
back
that's
to
why
the...
I'm like that now.
Oh. It's like
I
a pushback?
I don't take no crap, man. I don't take no crap.
I'm going to get my Shredder things out.
I'm going to try really hard to make Wolverine claws come out, and then I'm going to tell you that you're being a jerk.
And then Elias Koteas was Casey Jones in the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy on Twitter said...
Wait a minute. Was he in the second one? I thought he was in the first. Wasn't he in the first? He was in the first one.
It was the first, okay.
Yeah, because I used to own it on VHS. It was the only movie, that and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, that my parents would allow us to own for a very, very long time.
Oh.
We weren't like a family who had movies.
Rick Moranis, the Michael Cera of the 80s.
Yes, totally, 90s. Totally.
Speaking of Elias Koteas, someone said on Twitter the other day, they said, you know who Elias Koteas hates? That guy Chris Moreno or whatever that guy is on the Law & Order show who looks like him but is more well-known.
Dude,
like, I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, they totally look alike. Like the first time I saw Wet Hot American Summer. Have you ever seen that?
No.
So he plays,
I know what it is, yeah.
The guy from Law & Order. I can't remember his name now. But the guy from Law & Order plays the
same guy?
Yeah.
No, or wait, the guy who looks like Elias Koteas?
No. Okay. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy. The guy from Law & Order plays the cafeteria guy.
In that movie?
Yes.
Along with Elias Koteas?
No, Elias Koteas has nothing to do with that movie.
Jesus
but when
Christ,
I first saw
man.
It, I was like, that's the dude
that's
from
the dude. Yeah,
Teenage
yeah.
Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They look just like each other. And yeah. I don't know, for some reason, I just got to giggling and I thought it was genius Twitter.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. That's like a deep pull. Like, everybody's
that's
really
a deep,
into...
That's deep pull.
Yeah.
That's like
because
genius.
Nobody knows who Elias Koteas is.
We do.
Well, now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I had no idea.
There's like
that
one
was.
Guy, like, he was typing, he's like, one guy is really going to like this a lot.
Well, somebody's going to look it up, and
yeah.
it's just going to make people laugh because everybody's going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's like what's become really popular, and this kind of circles back to what I wanted to talk about with you is that, like, pop culture and like nerd culture has become extremely, extremely popular in the last couple years.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not couple, but you know, maybe five, 10 years. Mm-hmm. With you know, nerdy TV shows getting on like mainstream networks and things like that, and it becoming more of a mainstream kind of thing. So have you seen, going to all these Comic Cons and stuff like that, have you seen like a shift in what's acceptable now?
Yeah.
Right? Or what people, you know, like what type of people are coming to these, coming to Comic Cons year after year?
I feel like in the past five, and there's tons of people who could probably answer this better than me because I've only been doing it for 5 years. But, yeah. But I've been going, if you count in how long I've been going, it's like 8 or 9.
Yeah. But you've been into it for a long time.
Yeah, been into
too.
It for a long
like
time,
you
yeah.
Go, you go to comic book stores and,
yeah.
and stuff like that and hang out.
I feel. You
know, that's part of it.
I'm going to try not to get off track here, but there's two things to it. Yes, I feel like nerd culture now, like I don't even think it's nerd culture anymore. I just think of it as culture. Maybe that's because
right, right.
I'm just in it. But like when I go, you know, when I've been working the booth for 8 hours and I'm walking to, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go hit the restroom real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And some bikini clad stormtrooper girls in front of me.
Which is the best, by the way.
It is nice. and I, but to me, I'm just like, I just, excuse me. Like to me, it doesn't,
yeah, yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
stick out anymore to me.
Mm-hmm.
Except when I'm not at a Comic-Con and I just see someone dressed like that, I go, whoa, hold on, just out of context.
They're in deep.
But yeah, but to me, it's just like, it's just our people and the, yes, I feel like Avengers, stuff like Avengers and Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead, which all stem from comic books
and
sci-fi fantasy, which all start off with very small followings and now
right,
are just
right.
bazillions of dollars everywhere. I think it just shows that people just like good stories and they want to have characters they can relate to.
Yeah.
And I'm always preaching this from the pulpit is if you're into any kind of soap opera, if you like action movies, if you're into even just like The Wire, stuff with good character development,
mm-hmm.
you're into comic books. Do you not like cool looking things? Do you not like to read? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you probably won't like comic books, but everyone's like, oh, I will never go to Comic-Con, but I love Game of Thrones. Like, well then you're missing out on a lot of joy
yeah.
in your life.
Oh yeah.
Because,
yeah.
you know, there's just, I think there's still just like that paranoia of like, what is a geek? What is a nerd? But I just,
right,
to
right.
me, it's just all blended in all
yeah.
the time. And often.
But would you say, cause there are a lot of people who like when a public figure like Kim Kardashian says like, oh, I'm just a movie nerd.
Yeah.
You know, when she's sitting and she watches Old School and you know, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants all in one day.
I love that.
Right.
Line.
Yeah. Okay. You know, but there, and I think kind of rightly so, like,
yeah.
You know, people get kind of annoyed about that. Like, shut
yeah.
the fuck up.
I think people get annoyed because it's something that they've been able to make their own. I think the people who are annoyed are saying, hey, I was repressed for what I was into, and then I found this group of people who like the same thing I did.
Right.
And
right.
then they see X kind of person who kind of shunned them for what they like.
Oh, yeah.
Coming
yeah.
onto their turf.
And who would still probably not give them the time of day.
And still probably not give them their time of day. Yeah. But this is where, I mean, this is where I would think that as cool as, you know, I think people who, you know, are into all this stuff are really smart because it's not just shiny pictures on a page. It's deep
mm-hmm.
short storylines. And it's, you know, X-Men came out as a metaphor against racism in the 60s. And you know, a lot of those early Marvel books and DC books were actually social commentary.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
happening. And so when you look at that from like an intellectual standpoint, it's awesome. There's a depth of story and reasoning behind why those archetypes and characters still resonate today. But what I always call on for like the nerds and the geeks to do is don't be the people who were like that to you.
Right.
So now, like,
yes.
as annoying it is
yes.
for Kim Kardashian or someone who we just think is a douchebag to
yeah,
say,
yeah, yeah.
"Oh, I'm really into this because they saw a soundbite that's saying like, hey, there's a lot of Comic-Con coverage on CNN and that looks great and I should be into that."
Yeah.
It's like regardless
yeah.
if their motives are cool or not, if they like that stuff, who are you who've liked it yeah for way longer than they have
yeah.
to shit on that person?
Right. So you I take it, and I know the answer to this,
yeah.
but you are not the type of person that would get annoyed at that.
Right?
You're
no.
not a purist. Well,
it's kind of clouded that, because say if someone comes up to me and they say, "Hey, I've never been into comics and video games, but I really like your songs, and that makes me want to get into comics and video games." I'm not going to be like, "Oh no, you don't!" And I will
yeah,
grab that
and rip it up.
You know, it's like I'm not chasing the, but I'm also
break
not
it over your
that
knee
dollar
just to...
by that much to say like, "No, of course, yes, here, Bible." No, but I hear that argument happen all the time, and it's always just, you know, to put the example that is unfortunately the one that you see all the time
yeah.
is a, you know, what the media shows as a quote-unquote nerdy guy physically, which I just cringe at because that's just a stereotype for people.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And then they show, like, the hot girl who's saying, I'm totally into comics now. And it's like, yeah, I can see how people would trip out about that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But rise above and be the better person and welcome people into something that you weren't welcomed into.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Well, what's the other option?
That's
just
deep,
be a douche
man.
To people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not
well,
an
I was kind of, I was somewhat hoping that you were just going to say, like, yeah, fuck those guys.
You can edit it out and just put fuck those guys if you want. There, I just gave
try
it.
To try
no.
to no,
no.
Try
it's,
to
it's,
do your.
It's
do your
changing,
voice
and there's like more families all the time.
Oh yeah,
but,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
But you know, and not to get off on this whole thing, but the shame of it is all the money that the TV shows and the movies and pop culture that has to do with comic brings mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. is not translating to the comic book store.
Right.
And that's a
yes.
problem. And
yes.
no one has been able to figure out why that is. It's not because people don't like to read. Mm-hmm. And DC Comics relaunched all their comics a year or two ago with all the number ones. Like Batman and everything was up to $7.99, $800
yeah, yeah.
on issues.
Yeah.
Okay, we think people aren't reading comics because it's too much story. So let's start them over at the beginning. And it... Of course it doesn't make a difference.
See, I haven't been following like actual comic books.
Yeah, like this whole thing happened really? And sure, like for the first time ever, DC Comics
went back to number one.
They went back to so
they didn't like reissue like the first like detective.
No, but they're like now Superman's like. In his 20s, Aquaman's young, and people who were purists were really upset.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of, it was slash exciting slash offensive because it was a money grab.
Right, right.
Opinion.
They were
and
doing
a lot
it
of
for
creators,
monetary reasons.
Yeah, monetary yeah. reasons. Yeah. And now they're back where they were because guess what? It wasn't about the fact that
yeah.
so-and-so didn't get into comics because, oh, there's 50 years to catch up on. Like, no, if you're really into it, you're going to do that.
Well, there's different storylines all over the place
yeah.
in these comic books
yeah.
too. So like there's different, you know, there's,
yeah.
it's not like a consistent through line.
Totally.
In 700 comic books.
And there's parallel universes and all that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you could go on forever about that kind of thing. But,
right.
But, you know, kids aren't reading comics like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Kids get Pokemon and they're on their 3DS and stuff like that. So, unfortunately...
Are kids really still doing Pokemon? Some are, I think.
Yeah? Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're still, like, everywhere at Target, and I know some people that do it. So, I mean, it's
yeah.
like, when you walk in, it's just, like,
yeah.
packs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so... I don't know. It's kind of, is the comic book store something of the past? I hope not, but
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, the 30-year-old people and up are the ones that have to keep it alive from now.
I know. It's kind of sad, but it is like a good comic book store will not only have comics, but you know, they'll have like old Nintendo games or something.
Some,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just a whole range of stuff, action figures and
yeah.
lightsabers and
and also,
like
unfortunately,
that, right?
comic book stores have had a reputation until recently of kind of being a boys' club. So they weren't
right,
very
right.
female-friendly
yeah.
to walk into,
yeah.
or they're kind of dingy and they're not kept up. But places like the Comic Stop, you know, to use an example, they're brightly lit, they're family-friendly. People,
mm-hmm.
you know, a good comic shop will invite someone in who has no idea what they're doing and totally overwhelmed and say, what do you like? What could
mm-hmm.
I help point you towards?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and we try to take that and put that towards our music. Like people come up to our booth all the time at these cons and they'll put the headphones on and sometimes they'll buy it. Sometimes they won't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll
yeah.
say something really shitty, but you can't take it personally because it's not about that.
Right.
Everyone's
right.
taste is so
subjective. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. And I don't think it is for everybody.
Yeah.
But we do try to write these songs, especially on this album, more, that they are deeply about nerd stuff, but the core of it is what we hope translates to the listener who doesn't know anything about comics. And almost the best compliment you can get is what I said, saying, hey, I wasn't into comics, but someone told me actually this album I really like is all about nerdy stuff that made me want to go get an X-Men comic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys are doing great things, man.
You
opened up for Weird Al. We didn't even talk about that
yet.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that area, well, Calgary just had the big flood and everything. Did you hear about that?
Really?
Yeah.
No,
just,
I haven't. I
yeah,
really
it's,
have
it's
not
a mess
been
over
following
there.
The news.
It's a mess over there. People can look it up. But basically, all the arena that we played in,
uh-huh.
the convention's in, it's filled with mud and dirt up to the 10th row where we played in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we played at the Corral there, and we opened up for Weird Al, and it was our first time ever playing an arena,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing, and we
yeah.
ate all his chicken
yeah.
afterwards, and it was catered, right? And so at the end,
he
was playing, we're like, well, you get used to this, and they're like, Mr. Stevens, can I take you to your box seat to look over? Like, yes, you can. And then the next week, we were back at Ballard, and they're like, here's
yeah, yeah.
a drink tab.
Right, here's your
it's
ticket.
Like, oh, but it felt good.
Well, that's fantastic, man. I was so stoked for you guys.
Thanks,
man.
It was good times.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, you guys are doing great things. Like I said,
thanks,
I'm really excited for you. I'm excited for what's to come with this new album. Let's pimp your wares real quick. Where can we find you guys? Where can we find you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's
all that stuff.
KirbyCracklemusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Twitter at KirbyCrackle, Facebook.com/KirbyCracklemusic, KirbyCracklemusic on YouTube, on Instagram under Kyle Stevens.
Yeah.
And we're going on a West Coast tour. So if your listeners are up and down the West Coast, it kicks off at the Triple Door in Seattle on July 14th.
Okay.
The 15th in Portland, the 17th in San Francisco at the Hemlock Tavern, next night in LA. And then we're at Comic-Con for Nerd Rockathon.
Oh, cool.
On a Friday. And then Las Vegas. So, yeah, airraid.com listeners, if you want to come out and say hi, I'd love to shake your hand and buy you a beer.
Definitely, definitely. And they will buy you a beer.
We will buy you a beer.
And
or like
soon,
a Capri Sun or whatever they have there.
Pretty soon you're going to have to just start bringing your own beer because you're opening up a brewery as well. Charging right. Hippo Brewery.
Yep.
We'll be sure to plug the crap out of that, too, when that gets done. Well, thanks again, man.
Thank you, buddy.
This has been a pleasure having you back on the show. Always a pleasure.
You look so beautiful when you're sweaty.
When I'm super, super sweaty.
Yeah, I just want to say that.
Can we
your wife's going to say that to you.
Can we just
I'll
go hang out outside, please?
Let's do it. Make me a steak. Jesus Christ, it's hot in here. Thanks,
man. All right, we're gonna end the show today with the song One More Episode, which I would urge you guys to go and check out on YouTube because the video is a lot of fun. Do you want to explain it really quick?
Yeah, it's, you know, we wanted to do a lyric video, and we hadn't done that ever, so we hired a company to do a lyric video for us, and they came to us with the idea of what if the font of the different lyrics that we're going by, each sentence switched between popular series that ran between, like, the 80s to now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you know, the chorus will pop up, and there's
such a great idea.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I wish we could take credit for it, but we didn't.
They did it.
It's Bullseye Creative out of Seattle. They're great. And,
and
everything from Mad Men to Gargoyles to The Simpsons.
The Sopranos. Yeah, yeah.
I know. When I saw it, I was blown away. I feel very proud.
They
did
a really good, really good job. So go check that out. It's called One More Episode. And you can find us at www.air-raid.net on the web. You can also find us on cairoradio.com. We don't plug that enough. They've got this great app you can download onto your smartphones, and it becomes kind of like a Pandora for radio programs there at the Cairo radio station.
People should leave comments on your iTunes too.
Yes, and we're on that. Do the iTunes thing. We'd really appreciate that. Your ratings and your reviews. I think Kyle's done it, and you can do it too. It's super easy. Take you a couple seconds. Anyway, okay, guys. This is one more episode by Kirby Crackle, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good one. One more episode.
We got the couch, we got the time. We're working hard, so let's unwind.